Good evening, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Berkshire County Board of Commissioners meeting for October 7, 2024. So welcome and call to order. County Manager.
Chairman John Trent.
Present.
Vice Chairman Ronald Robertson.
Present.
Commissioner Corey Balance.
Present.
Commissioner Ronald Wesson.
Present.
And Commissioner Michael White.
Present.
Okay, thank you, sir. Invocation, pledge allegiance be by Commissioner Ron Wesson.
Thank you, Chairman. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and eternal God, we bow our heads in humble submission to your will. Father, we say thank you for all your many, many blessings, Lord God. Thank you for this opportunity to serve the citizens of this great county. Lord God, we ask that you give us the listening ear and the understanding to be able to work hard to do the best that we can to improve the quality of life of citizens here in this community. Lord God, we know that many of our neighboring citizens in western part of the state are still suffering so very, very much. And Lord God, we hear now that another hurricane is about to hit us in the middle of the week in Florida. Lord God, we know that everything is in your will. And Lord God, we ask that, you know, that the damage might be minimal at best. And Lord God, protect all souls there, Lord God, and we will do the same. And Lord God, I thank you for allowing us to be able to send our people from here, from EMS and from the town of Windsor, to our neighbors in the western part of the state. And they're doing an outstanding job there, as I hear. So thank you for this opportunity this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. West. Next on the agenda is going to be 3-minute comment section.
Chairman, go ahead. Go ahead.
Evening, Chairman Trent, Vice Chair Robertson, and Commissioners. My name is Rachel Bellis, and I'm here on behalf of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, or PETA, and our more than 160,000 members and supporters in North Carolina. Tonight, I would like to introduce you to Diamond. Diamond is just a puppy, but she's kept outside tethered, and this was her only form of shelter when we visited her last. This is the top of a plastic doghouse and offers no real protection from the elements. There is another tethered dog on this property and neither dog had drinkable water. And this is Brownie. While Brownie is not chained and lives in a pen, on our last visit, the pen was full of feces, rotten food, styrofoam plates, and maggots. This is very typical of how we find Brownie's living conditions. You can also see that her water is brown from sludge and algae in the bucket. Without standards of care and duties of ownership, dogs like Brownie are forced to live in substandard conditions. And finally, I would like to introduce you to Apollo, whom we reported to Berkshire County Animal Control a few weeks ago. Apollo, and I'm not sure if you can see in this photo, you can see his ribs and his bones, his backbone. Apollo was not being fed on a regular basis, even after numerous conversations we had with his owner. Apollo was seized by animal control, and we are grateful that he will never have to suffer at the end of a chain again. Ordinances like the ones we are asking Berkshire County to pass give animal control and law enforcement the tools to help animals before their ribs and bones begin to show. They help prevent suffering before cases become cruelty cases. We again urge the Berkshire County Board of Commissioners to pass no-nonsense, easy-to-enforce ordinances banning the continuous chaining of dogs and implementing standards of care such as providing adequate shelter, care, food, and water. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Chairman,
yes.
board members, I need a point of special privileges to recognize Ms. Delphine Lowe. Ms. Delphine Lowe, join me, please. Delphine Lowe, board members, as you all know, retired in Berkeley County as director of the Social Service Department. At that time, Ms. Little was hired in 4 years. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Wilson, Mr. Wilson, Mr. White, and Commissioner Balance, the state taking them. At this point in time, if this day arrives on October the 7th, Berkeley County is no longer under oversight by the state. This will need to be recognized by the commissioners and all the citizens of Berkeley County for doing an outstanding job. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Updates and requests by the North Carolina Forestry Service.
Good evening, County Manager, County Commissioners. Thanks for having us on the agenda again. Mike Petruncio with the North Carolina Forest Service, District Forester for District 7 for the 9 counties here in northeastern North Carolina. Have Tommy Sports, Regional Forester for the Coastal Plain Division with us this evening. Alexis Marshall, Assistant County Ranger for Berkeley County. Hallie Jo Salmon, another Assistant County Ranger for the county as well. And Smoke Chaser Ahmad Bowen with us this evening. And let's see, County Ranger Dave Hoffer and Equipment Operator Jack Keller are dispatched to the mountains to help out with the situation with the recovery after the storm from Helene. We have 12 of our personnel that have been dispatched from the district. So we're shorthanded, but we know it's important what's going on out there, and happy to help out and with any work that we can do to lessen the burden with the effects of the storm there. So, we've had storms here. Forest Service has been involved when the waters come up here in Berkeley, and with the tornadoes that we've had in the past, we've always tried to help out with that. We've gotten help from other places with the Forest Service and working closely with emergency management, as we always do. So we're happy to do that and return the favor when folks need help in other parts of the state. Dave Hoffer requested to be on the agenda for the October meeting. Juan Vaughn sent an email back to Dave saying, yes, that would be honored. So we appreciate that, Mr. Vaughn and commissioners. I sent an email to Mr. Vaughn last Friday and explained he had inquired about whether we'd be giving updates and inquiring about our budget amendment. And I wrote to Mr. Bowen, we'll provide updates and be inquiring about our request for additional funding. On February 20th, 2024, we requested $199,149 from Berkeley County. The letter we received from the Berkeley County Finance dated July 3rd, 2024, stated we were appropriated $127,262 for the budget. On July 8th, 2024, I attended the commissioner's regular meeting and requested our budget request to be revisited. I was informed it would be revisited on the September 23rd, 2024 commissioner's work session. On September 9th, 2024, I attended the commissioner's regular meeting along with County Ranger Dave Hoffer and individuals from his staff. Dave Hoffer gave updates about our program areas and mentioned that he hoped we would receive a budget amendment in the September 23rd, 2024 meeting. On September 26th, 2024 is the County Ranger Dave Hopper inquired about a budget amendment and we received an email from Mr. Scarborough stating there were no budget amendments or discussions regarding the Forest Service on Monday. He added, I will discuss with Mr. Vaughn, whom I've included in this email, to get this on the agenda for October. So today is October 7th, 2024, and I am delivering to you a revised budget requesting $171,149 from Bertie County. The revised budget takes out a new initial attack truck and the equipment necessary to outfit the truck. Please let me know if you have any questions. Thank you for including us on the agenda for the October 7th, 2024 meeting. And I do have copies of the revised budget.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
In the packet, you'll see the letter that we received with the appropriation number from July and the revised budget dated today, October 7th. And then the original budget is a bigger packet with the application included. And that was dated February 20th. And as I mentioned, the reduced amount of $171,149 shows the budget without a truck and the equipment needed to outfit that truck. We try to keep this as cheap or as
inexpensive as you can.
Yes, sir. And these trucks, we do fabricate ourselves. I know in the previous meetings, I heard you discuss some other apparatus, fire equipment in the county. These Type 6 trucks, initial attack trucks that we put together for the estimated amount of $60,000 for the cost of the truck and the utility bid, with $10,000 appropriated for the equipment to outfit that truck. We put these together ourselves. If we did order a truck like this from to be delivered turnkey, I'm sure it'd be well over $100,000, possibly $150,000. So, we take a lot of pride in this and try to keep it as least expensive as possible for the county and the state. But at this point, we couldn't include the trucks because we weren't sure where we were going to be with the budget at this point. So we'll have to forego that, request that next year, and possibly another truck. I don't like to put two in the budget in 1 year because I know it is a large expense, but we're falling behind. And just requesting your consideration how important it is for the salaries and operating budgets of our staff and to continue on our great work that is so important for Bertie County. With that, I'll be happy to answer any questions, but I'll yield the rest of my time to my supervisor. Are there any questions with respect to what Mike presented?
I guess my question is, so you're asking for an additional $43,887?
That's the difference between 171 and 127.
Okay.
Yes. Mike, a question I would have for you is that, you know, are there any other sources of revenue that we have not sought yet in terms of grants or any other kind of assistance from programs that we could try to tap into to help close? Because when I hear you say next year especially it could be two trucks, we need to prepare for that early, right? That's going to be what's coming our way. We need to prepare for that. Are there any other state sources, any other association sources, whatever, that we might tap into?
Well, we have 60% state funding to go along with the 40% that we requested from the counties based on the tax budget. And the contracts that are in place is what we operate within the county to provide the services. So I guess to answer your question, Commissioner, I'm not aware of any additional sources unless it's possibly some grant money that can get absorbed in the county. And if you have a new one.
We know where your source of funding comes from, right? And just like, you know, we have a portion of that that's going to give it to us as our target. But I am concerned that we, you know, look in every rock to see if there are any additional sources out there. I mean, we see them for fire departments, like municipal fire departments. We see them for the EMS. We see them in a lot of other places, additional sources of funding that can be applied. So if you hear of anything, or if you know that, make us aware of that, right? So we can look for it. We're not looking for what the state can do, because that's a lock. But if there are any outside agencies, associations that might be able to help us, you know, it's worth our pursuit. Okay.
Well, again, thank you very much, Commissioner Spangmander, for allowing us the time to share with you. Again, my name is Tommy Sports, I'm the regional forester. Here in Eastern North Carolina, I oversee 27 counties. In Eastern North Carolina, 175 employees. And the employees certainly are important to me. Our program areas are important to me, and certainly our employees. It's one reason why we want to come talk to you this evening with respect to the budget that has been submitted, and then with what has been returned to us, with what we may be able to look into as an option for this year. As you recall, last year we had a meeting to talk about the budget. And thank you very much for working with us with what we had. Last year, as I can recall, when we met, we did not have two of our permanent positions filled. And we were able to reduce the amount of monies that we needed to make it through that fiscal year based off of the elapsed salaries that simply wouldn't occur. In January of this year, we were able to hire Alexis, and in April, hire Allie Jones. So now we're fully staffed. Looking into next year with what we have presented to you with our budget, calls for close to $500,000 with $197,000 being the county portion.
It's 497,000. Yeah, right at 500. Yeah,
exactly.
So where it sits at right now, we have an operational side, and we have a side to cover our employee salary and things. I'm sure you're aware of that. 127,000 does not cover our employees' salaries and the fringe benefits that go along with employment with the state. That's no operating monies at all. So with that, if we cannot find opportunities for some additional funds to support the county, we may be forced in the next couple of months to have a reduction in force. I don't want that to happen, no more than you want that to happen. But I will say that Berkeley County is in the top 3% in the state when it comes to force management, when it comes to resources that everyone depends on that come from our force. We here in the county serve the landowners and the citizens of this county with a great amount of pride. We offer them information for forest management. We provide protection to your citizens for fire control. And like our western counties, providing protection to the citizens there in a natural disaster in a hurricane. Last year, I brought to you an example of what could conceivably come into play is if there was a large-scale fire that exceeded the budget, the county wouldn't be charged any more than what's in the contract. And that holds true again today. You know, when you look at our western side of the state, my heart goes out to them, and certainly my prayers. But the amount of money it's going to take for them to recover, there's not a county out there that can fund that. Of course, you've got FEMA. You've got the Forest Service. We've sent 175 employees. We've sent better than 40% of our employees to the western side of the state to support them. And when they come home, we're sending another 40% to them, probably in the next 2 to 3 months, helping them recover. That just as easily could happen right here in Berkeley County. Whether it be a fire, whether it be a hurricane, a tornado, snowstorm, you name it. We have resources available to help citizens provide the safety of the county. And I want to just make sure that we all, I guess, see the big picture with what we have, what our services we provide to the county in your consideration for the budget that we're asking for. Just take us a little bit more of your time, and then I'll be done. Last year, as I mentioned, we were down 2 full-time employees for the better part of half the year, and certainly 3/4 of that fiscal year. During fiscal year 23-24, we have some information that I'd like to share with you with our pre-suppression hours. And these are hours that we are getting ready for fire control. We have one over apparatus, making sure that we're ready to respond in the event we do have an emergency here in the county. The county reported 4,417 hours with a 3-person staff and a partial 4-person staff when we looked at when Allie Joe came along with us in Alexis. Actual fire suppression, we reported 1,212 hours. That would be inclusive of the Bear Swamp fire. We did send some resources here. We had on the East Coast. 190 hours contributed to training, and 2 of our assistant county rangers are working through the required ranger training. They were roughly a third of the way through that, so the money invested in these employees. 204 hours of information and education, 178 hours of force management, 165 hours of forest development program, where we provide assistance to landowners to help them reforest and harvest today. Prescribed burning, 136 hours. Water quality inspection, 41 hours. Emergency call back, 153 hours. Our own call, these are hours after 5 o'clock in the evening to 11 o'clock at night that we are available to respond in the event there is an emergency. 3,454 hours recorded in the county. And then administratively, 139 hours. And when you tally all of those up, comes up to 10,665 hours. That's more than 5 man years of work when you consider 2,080 hours each year on a 40-hour work week. So more than 5 man years last fiscal year with 3.5 employees, if you will. They care about the county. They will work as hard as they can for the county. We just need to come together and figure out how we can support this. So that the contract we've requested to be signed can be implemented. There's a lot at stake here. We simply can't come to an agreement with what's needed. We will be forced to make some decisions. And have that cooperation, it would greatly be appreciated. I don't know how it would be covered. Simply don't know. We would if we could. But it's about as bare bones as Mike can put a budget together.
Tommy, can I ask a couple questions?
Feedback off me.
Nah, I don't know what that feedback is, but it's hitting us pretty good here. A couple questions. You know, we haven't had this situation 2 years prior to this, okay? We've always been situated on the budget, and you guys have been satisfied with what the budget is. You know, we know we've had a major inflation increase. I mean, what has the state done to increase their portion as far as what they are responsible for, as far as you said it's a 60-40 break, correct?
Correct.
Okay, exactly. And have they increased your budget also, or have they not?
Well, we match each budget based off what the budget calls for. So we do have a lapped salary that we cover some additional costs. across the state as needed. But when a county contract is fully implemented, that 60% is covered by the state.
I guess the question I'm asking is, have they give you any increases state, okay, as far as their portion of their budget? Have they given you any increases in the last 24 months? Because we've never had this issue before until last budget, right? I mean, that's when the first time I've ever had an issue, or we've had an issue, I should say. Have they increased your budget line item is what I'm trying to find out.
Yes, sir.
But did they only give you the amount of money of the increase of the inflation? Or did they increase you for the more people that you're trying to encounter and have?
They increased operational budgets by, I believe it was 8% this past year.
8%.
Best I can recall.
No, and that's fine. Listen, you guys are great. I'm a landowner. I need you. I mean, we all need you, okay?
There was an increase in some of our operating monies to help overcome some of the inflation that we've all experienced.
Okay, exactly, which we've all experienced, okay? But when you're looking at 24% inflation rate and the state's only giving you an 8% increase, now you're back to a 16% deduction as far as where you're at. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
So you're 16% short on the state then also. Would that be correct? I mean, that's obviously the numbers work out, and that's what it comes down to, 16%. Okay. Now, county manager, when he submitted their budget number, was that the 40%? I mean, how much was the 40%, which would have been our?
It was here and what he provided. The 40% was
the
$199.
So that was 40% though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Of the total budget of $497.
Okay. All right. And then it was changed.
What they're presenting tonight is a slight decrease.
Right. Okay. But the state has only increased you by 8%, correct?
The best I can recall.
Okay. And as far as what we're talking about, our budget number has been increased by how much?
I'd have to be honest with you, get a calculator out and throw it out at you. But,
I got
you know, this is considering we have a large truck purchase in place. Pull that out.
Mm-hmm.
That's been, you know, reduced down to the $174,000 or whatever that figure was that's been presented.
So the way this
$127,000, we have to go back several fiscal years to get to the point where $127,000 is what we had to operate on. If I remember correctly, 3 years ago, there was a $50,000 grant that was made available to help support need additional funds for the county. And all that's, I guess, part of information that y'all would have.
Right.
That was pulled from the county to help support that portion of it. Bottom line is, none of us control what it costs to live, none of us control what it costs to operate. But we do try to minimize everything that we can.
Right. And I get that. And I understand that and understand the needs, of course, of what everybody is trying to get. But again, you know, we've got a budget, and again, if the county manager is going to look into this and see where the money would come from, if we did do an increase, he would have to try to find it, where it would come from. And that would be a task that he would have to undertake.
Let me check, Commissioner, Chairman, if you could. Tommy, I want to cut this thing down real specific. You guys gave us a budget. Our 60%, want to correct me if I'm wrong, our 40% would have been that $73,000, right? Was 200,000, we gave 127, so we were short by 73 in making our 40% of that.
Right.
Okay, so we gave the same thing we had, so we did not give the 40% that would have been our matching portion. The same thing happened the year before, but you came back to us and we were able to provide an additional truck to close some of that gap. So what you're really saying to us is, can we make the 40%? Because you've now reduced that to 171, and so that means 44,000 rather than the 73,000. So that's what we're looking for. Is that correct? Right. I want to be sure on the numbers so that we can know what we're doing.
So now I have a question.
Sure.
It's based on what you have, the budget you've given us, it doesn't look like the state increases unless you increase ours. You have a whole number. And then it's just divided 40-60. So the state doesn't give you an increase unless we increase ours.
Budget to operate from once all signed, sealed, and delivered at the end of the day.
Right.
We have set costs with our salaries and our wages, fringes, and so forth that come out the top. Then we have operating monies to function on after that.
Mike, excuse me, the way I understand it is that they make a request to the state. If the state approves that, that becomes the budget, which we then are tasked with 40% of.
I don't think so. Because last year they said that the state wasn't going to give them, if we didn't give them
right,
that, then
correct.
The state
right.
was going to not give them that. That's
not,
what I'm saying.
So we're not obligated. We do not, by law, have to do our 40%. But the expectation from the state is that we should, right? So that's why they give it to them. The argument we had last year was, hey, well, if, you know, I didn't say argument, but big discussion that we had is that are we required to hit that? And the requirement is that we do.
Yeah, no, I'm for finding the 43,000. I'm trying to make sense of it because, for instance, next year if they want it to be 600,000 our portion,
if the state
at some point, yeah, then they
get 40%.
That's 40%. They're going, anyway. That's what I'm trying to make sense of because based off of this, the state only gives it 60% of what you're asking. Not they don't just give you 8% or anything. They're giving you 60% of what you asked for. I'm going back to Mr. John Trent's question because he asked, did you get an increase? And you said yes, but you wouldn't get an increase unless you put it in your budget.
The increase last year, and this is we have a finance officer that manipulates a whole lot of numbers.
Right.
And at the end of the year,
don't take any offense, whatever you do. Don't take any offense.
They take areas where counties programs may be in the red, and counties that may be in the black, mm-hmm. and they merge them all together to balance the state budget. It's a job that I guess I wouldn't want to have, but it's a checks and balances at the end to cover where we can. So the budget, as it stands, is all rolled into our financial officer, and you know, he's looked at it, he's supported it. And Senate leaves his office and comes back to you.
So back when we were given $127,000, okay, in the original, okay, the 60% of the state at that time was how much? Do you recall that by chance?
No, I have to again pull my calculator out.
Okay, never mind. That's fine. I came up with a number, but I'm not going to repeat it because I can't be 100% on it. So. Because I've only noticed to start to have these problems in the last two budget sessions. Prior to the last two budget sessions, we haven't had any issues. I mean, that has become an issue. So that's the reason I want to try to get to the bottom of this thing.
Okay, so I guess I have to ask, where do we go from here?
Honestly, it boils down to we're looking at $43,000 right in that area, $44,000. And if it's going to happen, county management is going to have to find it. That's where it's going to have to come from. And they're going to have to tell us. We just can't say at this stage, pull it, because we don't even got it. They would have to find where it's going to come from and where it's going to move to. So your communications with county manager is the one you're going to be dealing with. And, of course, he'll be dealing with finance officer to see where they can go.
Thank you.
Yeah, the way the process works is you present it directly to us. Right. The board has the authority to direct the county manager to do whatever it is. But we do operate under a balanced budget. So that means in order to find that $44,000, we've got to take it from someplace else. It's not like there's just money waiting out there for us. So
that's the state law for us to balance the budget and have it turned in by July 1st. And again, it's going to go back to management. Management's going to have to find it if they can. And then they can get back with us. We'll contact you directly, one or the other.
But I assure you, Tommy, we take this very seriously.
I do.
You know, when you came back to us last year, the same thing, and you needed the additional money. We found it. Mm-hmm. We found it because we know how important Forestry Service is, not only to VRT, but North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Participants need to understand that revenue from timber in the state, we are number three. We have been as high as number one, but I believe that number is $43 million in revenue mm-hmm. that comes from that you guys help protect, mm-hmm. right? We just recently formed a forestry association, right? A lot of us joined it.
Yep.
And so one of the things we want to do is can the association help us in terms of what we can do to support it. Well, listen, and I think there are outside sources out there that we can tap into.
And Tommy, we've got to find them. We got some landowners that are sitting on this board that need you. We need the whole staff. We need everything that we can do for you, to help you, help the situation. And it's up to the management to find the task to move this forward, to see if they can locate these funds and for them to get back with us so we can get back with you, or for them to get back with you through us.
Yes, sir.
And to do that. But we have got to have a balanced budget.
Have one last question, just for my point of clarity. Are y'all state employees or county employees? When the state gets raised, when y'all get a raise. Okay, that's all I was wondering.
Thank you.
Just so it's clear that the 60%, whether it's 171 or 191, state's still covering 60%. The expectation from the county, whatever number is final. One other point about on call. That's what paid for it. We're on call. We're still going to respond, and we still do respond every time when there's a call at 1, 2, 3 o'clock, and we do have them at those times of the night. 7 days a week, 365 days a year. These guys and ladies are going out on Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Day, New Year's, July 4th, and every other holiday, Saturdays, Sundays. We're there, we're going to keep doing it. And they do a good job with it, and it's not an easy job.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate what you
do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Public Social Services update by Director Jeff McLittle.
Commissioner.
Hello.
Commissioner, this is Daphne Lou, Director of Social Services. Commissioner Ron Robertson spoke a little bit of my thirst, and I'm going to go forward. So I'm excited to stand before you today to share a milestone. It's been a long time coming. And I wanted to make a point of putting it on the record. So, you know, April of 2022, North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, Social Services came in and took over child welfare. So, I wanted to make sure that they gave us in reference to not being under corrective action any longer. In June 26, 2024 of this year, they came in and did a complete record review from a sample of child welfare records, and we received the outcome. We provided a rebuttal. And then 3 months later, they came, Peter West, Section Chief of County Operations, attended our social services board meeting virtually and let us know that we were no longer under corrective action. The strategies developed and implemented had to ensure regular supervision occurred, documentation was current and included all the required elements, children were seen and interviewed during the life of a case, all according to policy. All of this information was published in the newspaper. I hope you kept a copy, because I'm gonna keep a copy too. I'm gonna mount that thing. However, I wanted to take a moment to acknowledge the tremendous dedication of our child welfare staff, who persevered and showed resilience during the corrective action plan period, especially since our child welfare program had a full staff turnover between May and November of 2023. A special thanks to social worker Leah Flood, who was fresh out of college and the only permanent social worker in child welfare for approximately 3 months in 2023, and she is still with us, not burnt out. That's important to mention, because child welfare is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, which means that she, for those 3 months and the supervisor and myself did on call and ran child welfare. We're excited that child welfare social worker supervisor Teresa Gilliam, with experience, commitment, and dedication to children and families and community service and outreach, is guiding child welfare. We recruited child welfare social worker Tamika Beal in September of 2023, and she has over 18 years of experience that adds to our program. And we have a direct contract employee 3 days a week. She started in November 2023, and she's going to be ending her contract in December. It's Kinsey Jones of Cumberland County. She was an ongoing social worker for peer support, permanency planning services, adoptions, ICPC, courtesy requests, and much more. And currently, we appreciate all her assistance because she is about to complete paperwork for 6 children to be adopted before her contract ends. We only have 8 children left in custody. Today, I stand proud of the progress we've made in child welfare. We have secured permanency for 14 of the 22 children that were in custody when the state had oversight. And 8 of those remaining in custody, 6 of them that are planning to be adopted are currently in their adopted place. Adult Services is working hard to remain in compliance with standards. However, Bertie County is an aging population, and I want to encourage families and citizens to care for their elderly. There are only 4 hardworking adult services social workers and 1 supervisor in that unit, and they are doing their best to provide services to the aging population in Bertie County. DSS is not a great parent, and we are not great people to have over adult wards simply because families do it best. They are the experts for their family members. All my workers are working hard. They're doing best to serve our citizens and complete community outreach and be present when you want us to show up, schools, churches, wherever you need us, we're there. And I want to take the time out to say that my food and nutrition workers, my family and children Medicaid workers, my adult Medicaid workers, and my administrative staff are hardworking, and I appreciate them. Bertie County has turned a challenging chapter into one of success and hope for the future of Bertie County citizens that we serve. And commissioners, I want to thank you for your continued support as we look forward to the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A lot of hard work. Presentation of Trillium Annual Report by Northern Region Vice President Bobby Lowe.
Good afternoon.
No, Bobby.
How are you, Mrs. Lowe?
How are you doing? Okay. Good afternoon, Chairman and Commissioners. Thank you for allowing me to come. I'm just going to give you some updates around Trillium this year. And there have been a lot of changes this past year. This has been a very hectic year. So just some overall updates. For fiscal year 22-23, we served just under 44,000 individuals. At that point, it was still in Eastern North Carolina for behavioral health. There are the numbers. It was about 33,000 for mental health, just under 13,000 for substance use, and 7,500 for intellectual developmental disability. Those services came to about $650 million. So for Medicaid transformation changes, you guys have been hearing about the Taylor plan for years. You heard Glenn talk about it. It was delayed. It was like a 5-year process. There were some things that were done with legislation to make sure a Taylor plan would go live. So the General Assembly took some steps. It was in with the budget last year. So the first step they took, the original laws around tailored plans, so there could only be 6. They changed that to say there could only be 4 or 5. They also increased the minimum population. The original, I believe, said that you had to have 1 million people. They increased that to 1.5 million. So last year at this time, there were 6 LME MCOs. There were 6 of us across the state. Because of that, there obviously couldn't be 6 anymore. It also gave the Secretary of Health and Human Services the authority to make structural changes to make sure tailored plans were actually going to go live. And they also put in there in law a go live date of July 1st of this year. So with all these legislative changes, what that meant for us was consolidation. And this is just kind of the time frame that that happened. So, you know, the legislation was signed, the secretary issued a what you would call a directive, and that directive required that Trillium, Sand Hills, and East Point consolidate. East Point was the LME MCO kind of right behind us, and Sand Hills goes up from the bottom of the state up to Greensboro. We had to work on consolidation plans. They were due to the state by the 17th of November. Everything was approved between the LME MCOs mid-December. The secretary approved it December 18th. Operations, they were effective 1st of January, and for our members, it was February 1st. So if you look at that time frame from November to February 1st, we went from a 28 county agency to a 46 county agency. With the consolidation, with all three of us joining together, Trillium was named the surviving entity. So now Trillium serves 46 counties in North Carolina. And so bringing new counties on is not new to us. I mean, you know, y'all been around with us for a long time. We were 19 counties and 24 counties. But usually when a county joins us, it's because that county chose to do that. We've had a few counties that have said, we're going to leave and realign with Trillium. We had one county when their MCO was dissolved, they selected us. This was a little bit different. These counties were directed to make these changes. So it was a lot of work. Overall, it has been very successful. There were a lot of steps put in place to make sure that the people served didn't feel the difference. Providers were contracted, staff were hired. You know, all their staff were able to come on board. All their providers were able to come on board. So from the member standpoint, it was, you know, pretty seamless for the most part. What that ended up with what that made us was 46 counties, a 3.1 million population. Inside of that, there's about 51,000 tailored plan members, and that was an estimation because this was done before tailored plan went live. About 163 people who have Medicaid direct. And in our counties, there's about 287,000 people who don't have health insurance. So we've always been three regions. Now we have five. This is a breakdown of our regions. You all are in our northern region. For us, the only change was adding in Warren County. So our northern region now has five counties. We did some shifting with all the others to try to even them out as far as square mileage, population a little bit, but we're such a rural area up here, our population numbers are significantly smaller. But we do have, you know, the largest number of counties. All right, so for the tailored plan, so that went live. That actually happened after years of it's going to happen. This actually went live in July. So the tailored plan has been operating since July 1st of this year. And we are managing total health care for behavioral health, physical health, and pharmacy benefits for people who fall under our services. And what that means is individuals who have the most severe mental health needs, substance use disorder, or intellectual developmental disabilities who are on Medicaid are served under us. Most people in your county who have Medicaid are actually served on what's called a standard plan. So that's where some insurance companies are operating Medicaid now for most people. Those companies are listed as Blue Cross, AmeriHealth, United, and WellCare. The majority of people are actually receiving all their services under them, and we're serving the people who have the highest level of need. And I pulled the data for that because it's a little bit shocking. So for Bertie, there's about 7,200 people who have Medicaid in the county. We have 513 members. So out of the county, there's 7% of the population who's on the tailored plan. And for Medicaid direct, there's about 32%. The other 61% of your folks with Medicaid are actually served by one of the insurance companies who's managing Medicaid now. So we've had a lot of changes in care management to get ready. We Because if you think about care management for years was how do you find a mental health provider, but now it's are you getting your pharmacy prescriptions, are you getting your prescriptions filled, have you seen your specialist for diabetes, are you seeing primary care? So there have been a lot of changes to get us ready for that. One team, I'll just point out one, we've started a team that really focuses on reentry. So when people are, when our members are ending up in prison, because they sometimes they do, when people come out and they don't have the care they need, they're more likely to go back. So we have a team now that works with individuals who are in a prison system so that when they come home, to try to get them connected to behavioral health services or substance use services that they need to try to help them be more successful after they've done their time. Just a couple updates. Some of those that apply specifically for Bertie County. One of those is a substance abuse prevention in the schools. Since last year, in the high school here, in the early college, there's a program called Sold Out Youth. That's a program that is for youth. It's around substance abuse prevention. It has a special curriculum around fentanyl because fentanyl is such a danger right now. I mean, kids are experimenting with vapes and gummies and all these things, and those things can be laced. So there's a curriculum just for those students. I'm working right now with Mr. Bishop to try to get some sessions from the Post Center. Those are some educational for parents because you've really got to start with prevention. You've got to include parents. So we're hoping to have some educational sessions for parents around substance abuse prevention as well. We always do our naloxone kits for the county. And we also have a group called One Community. That's that little logo off on the side with the hands. You will probably see them around. They do what we call health literacy. So they will set up at various places in the community. Sometimes they might attend events and just really try to share information around health literacy. You know, our population sometimes doesn't have the best health outcomes. And so now this is really trying to help them learn how to address all their health and how to access different services that they need. And they might like set up at a Dollar General because in rural counties, they're Dollar General. Or, you know, our Family Dollar, you know, it looks a little bit different. So they'll set up wherever they're needed to in the county. So the numbers for Bertie specific. So last year there were 530 individuals served, and that's a unique number. For mental health, there were 421. Substance use, 125, and 70 people with a developmental disability. That's all I've got. Any questions?
You know, usually when the state gives us a goal and we miss that goal, there are consequences, right? Mm-hmm. Understandable. But with Medicaid expansion, the state gave us a goal and Bertie County overperformed. In fact, we were one of the best and highest result counties in the East. I think the only county ahead of us, last time I checked, was Nash. So we did a great job. And we got a lot of new people on Medicaid expansion, working people, getting service for the first time, right? Why doesn't the state give us additional funds? Because we overperformed. And we took on that additional burden of those people. If we had missed our targets, I'm sure somebody been looking at us saying, oh, we're going to cut your budget. But where's the money for our overproduction to because we've got to now manage that. We wanted them. Because they were citizens, we wanted them to have care. Well, we did it. But now that puts a burden on DSS in a way that without additional resources, that hurts them. And I'm not sure anybody really considered that when they did this. But I can tell you what would have happened if we had not made our target. You know, can you take that, you know, above, you know, us here? Because, you know, I mean, there needs to be a more equitable way, right?
Like DSS to have more resources.
Absolutely.
Additional applications, all those different things.
It adds to the workload, yep. Right? And it's a good thing, right? And I can tell you without, care. You know, and this is something close my heart with. And I served on that Care for Carolina group that actually, you know, had a good hand in terms of getting the governor's, you know, approval on this thing, the legislature more than anything else. So, I mean, we did some great work, but the reward for it is just additional work that we put on our staff. You know? The second question I have is that, And I know you're on the workforce that we put together about opioid expansion dollars, and we're going to find out more about an additional settlement that we're going to. But at some point, we're going to need, and I know you're serving on the task on the force with us, but it's going to be important that we start spending some of those dollars to have an impact, not just on citizens, but how we relieve some of the stress on our department. Because there's nothing to say. I mean, we need to look at the rules carefully in terms of how we spend that money. Is it just specifically programmatic in terms of what we do, or can it also be used to help assist the services that we bring forward to our citizens, right? If that were the case, maybe that's how we get the assistance. But we were doing that of the dollars that we worked hard for, and they're targeted. So I'm just leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely share that feedback. We don't have any ability or any control over the finances that DSS would receive. I mean, I hear you. They did a lot of work, and Bertie did good.
Yeah, but the possibility that Trillium, and the Trillium resources, could look at how they support counties who have overperformed. I mean, that Medicaid whole golden expansion, Trillium had a great role in that. So, you know, are there Trillium funds that could be applied to helping us with that overburden of resources?
So when you think about things like that, if you think about the standard and tailored right now, we only have 7% of your Medicaid population. 61% of your Medicaid population, they are managed under those standard plans and those private insurance companies right now.
But that's where they're served, but mm-hmm. That's not where the work that manages behind the scenes process is done. That's here. That's what we have to eat, right? And so what I'm saying is that, you know, even if it's 7%, even if it's a small portion, the message needs to go back to the Trillium Board that counties who are performing well, and especially those who are overperform their target, need to have some additional,
support
and dollars, money, right. You know, to handle that overload. Right.
Yeah, and I would definitely also take that up with your legislators, because I think that's where more of your funding is going to come from the state to your DSS. We don't provide, you know, we don't have control over the DSS budget or anything provided at all. That's, you know, outside of our role as a public health plan. But I'll definitely share your feedback. I hear you, and Bertie did good.
You did very good. Yeah, and that's not, you know, we did good. And we're gonna find a way, but there should be some recognition for that. And I don't mean just have us in the back, but help us with the cost of that. So.
Well, I appreciate, it's like Commissioner Weston just mentioned, that you be an advocate for us. Mm-hmm. You know, and let us know, you know, what the outcome may be. And hopefully it will be great. Thanks.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Next on the agenda is going to be Economic Developer Update by Director Franklin Williams.
Commissioners, County Manager, Public, good evening. Several things going on in economic development. I'll try to just give you a brief synopsis of it, and then if you have any questions, be glad to answer those. One major thing that I think that as commissioners you need to be aware of is that our CAB grant stopgap application, all of the paperwork was submitted on September the 6th. And what this is that usually the CAB grant, they were asking for a match based upon all the funds we received. Our smaller counties could not afford that match. And so legislation was put in place so that we could, we did not have to provide the match, but at the same time receive $4 to $5 million for broadband access. And so it was approved by the House on September the 11th. We're waiting for the Senate of North Carolina to approve it. Once that's done, I think that's when we'll see the grant money start coming down.
And the governor's signature.
And the governor's signature. So it's got to be signed into law. Along with broadband, the BEAD process has begun, which is another phase of broadband and internet access. Our BEAD challenge workshop, which was October the 1st, went well. We completed our survey. Ms. Jamie Heath from Mideast Council of Government has been very, very helpful in helping us to map out everything. And the importance of those maps is that they designate sites that that have been served, and some of those sites, even though they say they have been served, they have not. They identify those things as well as community, what they call community anchoring initiatives, municipalities, first responders, EMS, townships, things of that nature that need broadband access. There's a real need there, so we're thankful for that. Extension, they're going to sponsor digital skills and equity workshop on October 12th, and I think that's going to be great. Pertinent issues that have come up in the midst of pursuing all of the objectives that was outlined in the beginning of the year was brought to our attention by our chairman, John Trent, that we have three industries, Purdue, Welland, and
Darling International.
Yes, sir. Well, they operate off of three wells that belong to Purdue. Two of those wells have failed. So now they only operate off of one well. The problem with that, if that one well goes down or if there's a fire or an emergency, that lowers the water pressure in the plant. So all plants have to shut down in order to take care of that emergency. Not to mention you're messing with methane, you have ammonia, and so it is a very big problem. It's very problematic, and we were brought down there. Matter of fact, Chairman Trent took us there. We met with plant managers.
And actually, the plant manager was the one who gave you that information about the wells.
Yes, sir. And he, what we did in response to that was immediately contact our legislators. Our senator was on site with us, Senator Hennig. He met us there. And our U.S. senator had Mr. Talo to represent him. That was Senator Budd. But we reached out further than that. We reached out to USDA. What we really need is a water line. It runs from Lewiston all the way down there, as long as a holding tank, and reestablish some wells. And you can talk with USDA, with Mr. George Vitale. He's very aware of what's going on, as well as Angela Washington and Mr. Reginald Spaeth. And what everybody's waiting on is a preliminary engineering report, preliminary cost report, to see how much all of that would cost, how much funding is needed for that to happen. They were very willing to help. I was surprised that Senator Tillis had his representative to call us, and he's doing research right now of where to get funds from to go ahead and try to put this to rest. But we're just waiting on the cost. The initial cost in the initial engineering report was $4 million, but they wanted us to revisit that because inflation, things have gone up now, and to get a good system that will not only carry what's there, there's potential for more to be there. And if you're going to build a system just for that, then you're going to have to expand it later on anyway. So it's better to go ahead and do what's necessary. So that has been somewhat time consuming, but at the same time, it's very necessary to protect our citizens. If there is an environmental catastrophe there, it will affect a lot of our citizens.
Mr. Williams, did we put a time frame on to get back with us? Engineering firm to get back with on the calls?
Yes, sir. He may not have the number on that right now, but I spoke to Rodney Tart the other day, and he's supposed to have numbers back to me on the 16th.
Okay, great, great. Okay.
Yeah, we're trying to move as fast as we can.
Well, I ask because sometimes, you know, we don't put a time frame on. Go ahead and get it done, you know. Sometimes we'll drag. Things won't happen. But I think, thanks for sharing, Chairman.
Yes, sir. We're working on that consistently. Also, as far as our housing, I know that was part of my responsibility, but I think that meeting with our developers, they have chosen a standpoint of not really allowing the county to make the introduction, but not to get involved in negotiations. In other words, they want to talk directly to the landowner. And I believe we've identified some properties through Commissioner Wesson that's going to be ideal for us. We also have some properties, Mr. Trent, for another developer, which is TAM. And the thing is, when these developers come in, they're wanting tax credits. And so there's an application fee, and that application fee runs about $10,000. The developers that we're working with right now, with Commissioner Wesson, they're just saying, no, we'll pay the $10,000. You all just get out of the way and let us do our thing. And hopefully, Mr. Taft will say the same thing. And that's one in our, I was going to say, east of Windsor area. The other is going to be in that Lewiston area.
So, remind them that, as you know, that the deadline is going to be in January.
Yes, sir. The deadline will be in January.
Right.
For those tax credits. And so we're hoping to have a handle on housing in our county very shortly. And I know that was one of the responsibilities that we talked about in strategic planning. I tried to meet all of those areas. I do want to apologize to the board. I gave you some information that was not factual. It was my professional opinion. And that is dealing with the grant that goes from digital for the 911 center. The process for which congressional directed spending works is very lengthy. It starts with a small window. When I say a small window to get your grant submitted, I'm not talking about days. This year, we got from 1 o'clock to 6 o'clock to get your entries in. So the county manager gave me permission to write in advance what was needed. And that's what we did, so that we had our paperwork ready to go whenever the window opened, and we did get it submitted. From there, they send their research analysts down. All of the things that I put in there, everything is researched by their analysts, taken back to DC. From there, they go through the rating process. Everything is rated, given a score. I think that's what they call it, scoring. After the scoring, it goes to a subcommittee for the congressman that's going to present it. After that, now you're competing against every municipality, every county, every town, every city in the first congressional district to get this funded. That's your competition. After the congressman's staff goes through it, he picks out those things that he prioritizes. And those that meet the high priority, those are the ones he picks out, and he presents it again to a subcommittee that deals with appropriations. Subcommittee goes through it, they pick them out, they go to appropriation. Once it hits the appropriation committee, the Republicans and the Democrats get together and they vote on it. Those things that can go up or down. So I said that to say this, we made it twice. Both of our grants made it through all of that. And we got to the appropriations committee that was approved on June 28th. And I believe I met with you guys and I told you that it was 100% done. It was not 100% done. My professional opinion is, since 2011, every grant that was written and it made it to this point, it was approved. The one in 11 was because of September 11. You know what happened then? That was a big crisis. And we've got some crisis going on now in our country. And right now the Appropriations Committee has not met. But once they meet and approve it, then it goes to the House, to the Senate. They vote on it and it's done. So I apologize to you. Personally, that was not the county manager's fault. He has reminded me, let me say it this way, he has sternly reminded me that we don't approve anything 100% until we have it in black and white. So I do apologize to the board for that. I was just being very aggressive, very open-minded, and I felt like it was already done, but I need to give you black and white, and I'm sorry for that. I'm also happy to report I've been here 1 year. This is my 1 year anniversary, so I'm very thankful to be in this position, and I hope that I can serve you very well in the near future. Our Tri-County Airport, we needed to purchase a new tractor just to keep the grounds, keep the grass down, things like that. So that's in process. Our board met and that was voted upon. We will not have a meeting in October. Our next meeting will be in November, and Commissioner Balance will be joining us. So I'm looking forward to working there. We're in the process of seeking funding to get a parallel runway and to get some more hangars at our Tri-County Airport. Our EDC meeting, we're constantly analyzing data of the workforce. That seems to be the focus of the EDC right now. They want to find out how many workers are available for work, how many jobs are available, and then to start some type of marketing campaign that we can join those people who want jobs to the jobs that they want and that are available. And hopefully we can boost our workforce even more. And that's all I have for you. Do you have any questions?
This is more than a question, but concerning the first thing that you brought up, which was the broadband financing, right? The board needs to know that Berkshire County is under the Digital Inclusion Plan Steering Committee that's put together under the MIDI. So a lot of us worked for the last year and a half trying to get one source to handle some of the red tape or infrastructure around broadband so counties would not have to individually do it themselves because we don't have the expertise, we don't have the time, okay? That was approved. And now funding has gone to the COGS, ours is the MIDI's. And we have engaged Jamie Heath, who is tremendous. Jamie is, anyway. So, but I want you to understand that Bertie County has very strong representation. Rebecca Jeanette, who's here, has not missed a meeting. Rebecca Stapleton has not missed a meeting. Commissioner Court Balance was on the phone with in meetings, and Franklin's been there. And we have been able to make some progress. We just received, instead of having to pay for that initial mapping, we were able to arrange a deal through the rural center, right? That their consultant has done the initial mapping for us in all five counties. We now have that data absolutely free. That gives us a real head start on this process. But when the deadline comes down, we're going to have to do the other more detailed work, which means, you know, exceptions and adding additional things. And now, if the contract goes, which I hope, to FIDE, right, then they have some expertise to put into the game too. But we're ones responsible for it. The reason I say this, that same firm that worked for the Rural Center will be available to help counties, but that will be a fee. So don't know what it is yet, but when we get that notice of that, I'm thinking that if we can't afford it, it will be in our best interest because there's no way that Franklin or Juan or others of us who work on this could possibly get this done when the deadline is announced. So we need to take a good look at that. There's still some question as to would all that cost be ours or can the MIDI's work with, to defer some of the costs. But just want to put it out there. The county is well represented and it's already paid off for us in getting data and services free, not only to us, but the other counties. And we would want the county to push that, as you well know.
Yes. Yeah, when I got that information, I forwarded it straight on over to Juan.
Yep.
And Juan, you got it on your emails and stuff like that in reference to it. And I have to concur, after reading the information that came from the Rural Center, it was mapping, one of the great things that has been given to us that we can take off our plate. But again, the integral parts of it are going to have to be done.
Yep.
And once we find out what those integral parts are, they're going to be asking, we don't know yet.
Yep.
Then we can make that determination of whether or not we would go with consultants or not. And Juan, that'd be something for you to jump on.
I'll add, Mr. Williams, the Rural Center VP been in contact with me, Amara Kitchen.
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay. I know him very well. It used to be one of my tenants.
Oh, my goodness.
When he taught school in Berkshire County.
Okay.
But now he's one of the VPs at the Rural Center. And they are very interested in doing some things here all as well as in the housing segment. Yes. They want to come back and put some money back in the rural areas in Berkshire County. So in conversation moving forward, when you talk to them, I think they're about ready to sit at the table, press some numbers.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
That's a big interest. a big interest now.
And that's part of the mapping, you know, that they want to see where basically everything's at. But, you know, but one thing leads to another.
Thank you very much.
Let me one last thing. That we do have, at least right now, one firm who is committed and will file an application.
Yes, sir.
By the 10th, they will put up the $10,000, whether they get it or whether they don't. But their goal is to build 62 units, one bedroom, two bedroom, three bedroom, and townhouses on a 10-acre site. And they have identified three that they are looking to negotiate with. If they can get those or another site, they don't want a dime from the county or from the state. They're willing to do the work.
Yes, so this has been quite a journey for me, and I thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, William, for your honesty.
Okay, we have no board appointments. Consent agenda. Approved record of deeds, fees, report, September 2024. Can I have a motion, please?
So moved.
And a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Approved resolution supporting the operation of Green Light for veterans. Can I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
And a first and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Approved resolution authorizing the establishment of a tourism development authority in Bertie County and penalties for failure to submit occupancy tax returns or payments. Have a motion, please.
So moved.
First, is there a second?
Yes, I'm seconding.
Okay, we have first, second by Mr. Wesson. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Proposed 2025 holiday schedule and Board of Commissioners meeting schedule. If I had a chance to review. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion. We accept the manager holiday schedule for 2025.
Okay, and the board schedule also?
And board schedule also.
Okay. Thank you. Can I have a second, please?
Second.
You have a first and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. All right, we have Ms. Rebecca Jeanette, Robert T. Digicon, Digital Skills and Equity Conference. How are you, ma'am?
Public, thank you for putting me on the agenda tonight. I have come a long way since we last spoke in April this year. I feel like it's been 10 years and not 6 months. I have taught over 200 people here in Bertie County. I have reached over 9,000 people in Bertie County with programming and news. And I'm very excited to share a little tiny piece of information that's not on the agenda. My team just submitted a very robust grant proposal to the NTIA Digital Equity Competitive Grant, which was due on the 23rd. We're asking for almost $11 million. So please keep us in your prayers, because that means I won't have to come back knocking on your door begging you to pick up my salary when the grant runs out. It means that we would have 4 more years of this program, and we could add 4 agents to our team of 12 and cover even more of North Carolina. And like Director Little said, you know, we have a higher than average percentage of residents age 65 and older. I'm excited to announce that as of today, I am now licensed with AARP Oats Senior Planet to teach their curriculum, and it's super rich and engaging, and I'm so excited to take it to the community. But what I'm really here to talk about is Bertie DigiCon. It's this crazy little conference that I dreamed up with Sarah Tinkham back in April. It started with a little phone call because I heard she had some bead money. And I thought I'd see what we might be able to do together to help Bertie shine. And we decided to host and collaboratively organize a conference dedicated to digital equity and literacy. The disparity of digital equity in our rural areas, I mean, it's on everybody's agendas. It's being discussed at all levels of government. COVID really made it very clear that it's no longer a mere inconvenience. It's a human rights issue. When you can't access health care and when you have children parking at McDonald's to try to get access to Wi-Fi so they can attend school. So it's really important. The purpose of the conference is actually twofold. One, I want to raise awareness about digital equity in Bertie and Northeast North Carolina. Two, I want to ignite excitement and passion in our youth for H and for STEM careers and STEM programming. Because these kids here at the schools, they're hungry for STEM. That's what I've found during the times when I've gone out there and done outreach work. So we're really excited to have Innovation Station, that North Carolina A&T University STEM bus will be on site and probably will be the highlight of the day. We also are delighted to welcome Philip Holloway. He is the Digital Equity Coordinator for NCDIT, and he's from Swan Quarter, so he's really familiar with the barriers we face here to digital equity in Northeast North Carolina. We're also gonna have several representatives from local agencies, including Director Little is sending a team out. We've got the Council on Aging, my most staunch ally and supporter. We have been working together very closely all these months. We will have AARP. The head of AARP in Raleigh called me and said, hey, can we please participate in this? So I was thrilled to have her to the list. Jamie Heath with the Mideast Commission will be here as well. We're going to be trying to get some digital equity surveys filled out. And of course, my partners, Albemarle Regional Library, Roanoke Cooperative, and Five will all be present. Five has very generously donated a laptop, a brand new HP laptop. So it's the first chance I've had to actually put a digital device into a Bertie resident's hands. And that's so exciting for me because I didn't get the digital champions grant money. So anyways, we're having other little door prizes. It'll be a lot of fun. And I just hope to see a nice crowd turn out. I would love, we're going to have some pretty important people from A&T coming as well. I'm really excited that Dr. Misty Blue-Terry, Dr. Shamika Battle, Dr. Mark Light, a few of the Sharonka Sharp, they're going to be coming out. And I'm just thrilled to and honored to have a chance to do something like this because, as you all know, I really do love Bertie County, and I love people, and I love Bertie County people. So this is the most impactful work I can do. And I would love to open it up to any questions if you might have them.
First, I want to say thank you for your inspiration and your drive. We don't see that much, and we do appreciate what you do.
It means a lot to me to be here, and I feel so well taken care of, and I feel so connected to my community, even more so now that I'm in a public service role. So it's very, very meaningful to me as well.
Fantastic.
And I think it's important to say that Rebecca's done a great job in outreach, not just to businesses, but also to individuals and to churches and things that she's taken her seminars to. And sometimes the turnout is good, and sometimes the turnout is not good, but she's there every single time, and it's made a difference. I would say one thing that we could do, and if any citizen listening on this, if you've seen the flyer for DigiCon, you need to forward that to everybody you know. We can do the same thing, to say, please come out and support this. You know, there's a lot of people looking at this to see if this works, and what better place and Bertie to pull it off. If we can do this the same we did Medicaid expansion, it'll make a huge difference in terms of what we ask for and the respect we get. So you've done the work. Your team has done the work. We just need to make sure people take advantage of the opportunity.
I'll keep on doing the work. I'll show up to the opening of an envelope when I'm trying to build this thing from the ground up. One person wants to show up to class, I'll show up. And if people want to come, if your mother is having a hard time with her cell phone, send her to me. If you have a child in high school who needs to write a paper and doesn't understand how to use Microsoft Word, send them to me. All of my programs are grant funded, and that means they are free to everyone. And it thrills me to no end to make those breakthroughs, to help a person who can't see their cell phone to type in the code to unlock it, help them figure out how to use thumbprint or facial recognition, and to see that relief wash across their face when they realize that they're not going to be struggling 20 times a day with their readers to open their phone. Stuff like that's really meaningful to me.
Thank you, Jeanette, because you know what? It's in your DNA.
Yes, it is.
And I can tell it. You know what I mean? And thank you for being a servant that willing and want to help the less fortunate. Thank you.
I'll be just ramping up my coverage of, you know, covered populations. You know, we have more than our fair share of rural residents and seniors and low NCS households that I'm targeting, intentionally targeting those covered populations.
I can attend also.
Oh, I actually need to talk to you about poll rank. One last thing I want to say before I take up any more of your time is another really exciting initiative that we're fixing to push. I was on a digital equity webinar, but listening to a gentleman named Colby Hall from an organization called SOAR in Eastern Kentucky. And he started talking about the economic impact of when the coal job decreased from 150,000 down to like 3,000. And he was talking about the mass exodus of the prime age working population, aged 25 to 54. And that's when I really started paying attention, because I said, man, this sounds familiar. And he was talking about how remote work positions can be the savior of economies that are in distress for that kind of reason. And he added that the average salary for a remote work position is $87,000. And I thought to myself, man, if I could train just 100 people and give them the skills they need to access a position like that, even if it was just a $30,000 a year, it would be like I could build Purdue again without even having to build a whole other factory and bring a whole lot of outside influence. It's like wonderful to be able to be a careful steward of our community and do stuff like that. So I actually am about to go to take a course with Utah State University, certified remote work professional, and I can't wait to bring those skills back to Bartee County and help hook people up with what they need to get these types of positions.
That's tremendous.
And I'm gonna be aiming for night classes with those so I can target the working population.
So just in case somebody's listening, I mean, we don't know if they are or not, but you wanna tell when, where, and the 100 participants?
Thank you. DigiCon, Bartee DigiCon is a digital equity and literacy conference. It will be Saturday, October 12th, short and sweet, 10 to 2. And I would love to help anyone register. We want everyone to try to register on Eventbrite. NC State loves us to do that because then we're able to track our impact numbers better and ensure that these programs remain free in the future. And I can help anyone with registration. And we will have on-site registration day of the event. The first 100 people who register on Eventbrite and check in at the conference will receive a small bag of promotional items, my favorite Japanese microfiber lens wipe cloth that you can use to wipe your screens or your glasses, a USB flash drive, and a nice little stamp card. And if you get 4 or 5 of those activities stamped and traded in for a prize ticket, you might win a brand new laptop. So,
all right.
In addition to everything else, we have to
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right, next commissioner meeting is on November 4th, 2024, and commissioner's report. Mr. Robinson.
I sure early, yeah.
Okay. Wilson.
Yeah, well, a couple of things, Chairman. First of all, I think it's important that we get an update at our next meeting on where we stand on the county properties that we asked tax director to move on. We gave him the authority, and my understanding was that was at least 2 months ago. Is that correct? Right. And we gave him the authority, and I have not heard anything. Where does that stand? What we were to pick a real estate company, have them post this thing, and get it done. This is money we can use for the basketball court. This is money we can use for the animal shelter. We have those buildings available to us. We need to sell them. And he was supposed to handle that. So if we can make sure we get an update at the next meeting.
Did he ever get with you, Juan, as far as, didn't he have to get with you in reference to a real estate company or get approval for you or anything?
No. So I spoke with him recently to follow up and see where we were. So he is in communication with him, and he's waiting on the realtor to get back with him.
Okay.
Yes, but he already knew who the realtor was, and he's been in communication with him.
So a couple of other things. Dr. Smallwood and I are going to be at a conference tomorrow in Raleigh, the AIM conference. They're featuring 4 projects doing their general midday session, actually part of that midday lunch. And we're one of the 4, the Bertie Teacher Housing Project, that we're gonna be there to answer questions and to, you know, talk about how we made it happen here. In connection with that, I'm glad to report that we are now full. When I say full, at the department, we're still hoping 2 units with 2 additional teachers who are coming in. But other than that, we are now full. And I would say that as a result of that, last thing I'll say is that we need to give some special thanks to the Bertie County EMS and to the town of Windsor who've sent folks all the way to the west to work for it, right? And Director Rawls is going to be heading a displacement center. He's going to be running that for next week. Our teams have been there for a week and a So Bertie County is doing their part. Others have helped us, and we're returning the favor.
Great, great job. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to mention, we do need a voting delegate for November 14th, 15th. I have registered to be at that conference, and I don't know. I mean, I'm always going, but I have registered today.
I don't have any.
I'd just like to take a moment and suggest that we also recognize the Sheriff Department. Been doing an outstanding job, Leah. Really has, keeping the citizens informed, taking menaces and illegal activity off the streets, and keeping everybody informed. I just wanted to just take a moment and just give them recognition, give the Sheriff Department recognition.
I would concur with that.
I totally agree.
Absolutely. And to feed off of the EMS situation, 12 years ago, we would not have been able to do what we do for the other counties. We have been called into numerous counties since we went EMS privatization and brought it into the county, where we have EMS employees and paramedic level, which our other two county sides don't have as of yet, but they're working on it. We've had it for 12 years now. What it boils down to is we have communication centers, mobile communication centers, things of that nature can be set up. We've been used in other counties during hurricanes and also during flooding and also chemical issues. And, this is something that the board brought in around 2013, 14, something of that nature. And it was a big expense, but it was a perfect expense because the lives have been saved, not only here, but even outside of this county. We're being called in to help other agencies. Bertie County was never called in because we didn't have the assets. Now we have the assets. And having these assets is making life better for people in Bertie County. Do I have anything else? All right.
Who else?
Public comments? Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Manager,
I do have a few quick, very brief items. One is on September 26th, I, along with Dr. Smallwood and some people from Board of Education and Bertie County Public Schools, attended a meeting at Pitt Community College, and it was for a meeting or workshop entitled Future Proofing North Carolina's Workforce, Generative AI Opportunities for North Carolina Business and Industry and Implications for Education. So as you all know, AI is very popular and on the move. Its capabilities will blow your mind, and we haven't seen anything yet. So there were people across the state from education, from the business sector, as well as local government to talk about where we are with AI and where we're going, and it's gonna be going somewhere very, very fast. Additionally, as Commissioner Weston mentioned, I have to thank our EMS staff and our emergency services director for going to the West. You know, there has not been a time when we were in need here in the county, and EMS staff from various parts of the state were not here to assist us. And so I was thrilled and excited that the staff were willing to go and wanted to go. And so I fully support them being there, and just know that none of our operations here locally are being interrupted or being affected negatively. And then, of course, congratulations to DSS department, specifically the child welfare unit, on being taken off of the corrective action plan. That is a huge step for that agency, and I'm very proud of that.
And EMS is fully staffed now, is that not correct?
I'm sorry?
EMS is fully staffed.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Absolutely. So
fully staffed.
Yes, EMS is fully staffed. It's been a very long time, as Kimmy Ann said during her presentation, during our work session. It's been a very long time. I don't know ever. The last time we've been fully staffed in EMS. And I don't know if you all have noticed or not, but also in communications. In communications, there were often quite a few vacancies. And for a while now, things have been going very smoothly, and we're fully staffed there also.
Okay, thank you. County Attorney?
No, sir, no.
Okay. Is there any other public comments? There are none. We'll be going into closed session under North Carolina General Statutes 143, 318.11, subsection A, 3, 4, and 6. Thank you, everybody.
Is the we're ready?
Oh.
Okay.
Now we need a motion. I mean, we need a. I'm sorry.
May I have a motion come back into open session?
So moved, Mr. Chairman, that was.
You have a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Now, Mr. Manager, we need to make a motion or something, correct?
We do.
Okay.
Attorney Huddleston, you have the motion for the opioid?
Yes, the motion needs to be that the opt-in to the Kroger settlement agreement is to be released to the national consortium.
Okay, can I have a motion, please, in reference to that?
So moved as stated by the county attorney.
Okay, we have a first and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes. All right. We are going to
recess.
Recess until the 21st at 10 a.m.
That's it.
Have a motion to adjourn or to recess, please.
I make a motion to recess to October the 21st, 10 o'clock.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Everyone.